Okay, Beruchim Abayim, welcome everyone. We are continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. We are finishing up the second pasuk today that we've been learning about. Batahba lev bala veshala lo yehsan. One of the most important aspects of building a strong marriage and strong relationships in general is learning how to be a good taker. We speak so often about learning how to give. Like we learned, learning how to receive is just as important. Learning how to receive somebody else's gifts and time and efforts is an art, and there are many aspects to it. We discussed how a person is able to give proper hakarat hatov and what that means. Today we're going to be concluding, at least for our study, this subject by talking about a certain enemy that we need to be aware of when it comes to proper receiving and proper appreciation, and which of course will lead to proper relationships. Do not think, like most good things in life, if not all, that doing the right thing is going to be easy. Doing the right thing always has an enemy, something that's pulling us in a different way. So even while we know what we need to do, but we also have to beware of the things that are going to try to stop us from doing what we want to do. If you've been learning and listening to our classes, you've understood that knowing how to receive is so critical. Knowing how to appreciate is so big. But you have to beware. There is an enemy that is waiting to lure you into a place that you never wanted to be. And if we're not aware of it, we're easily going to get there. So today is the last class, but it might be the most critical class. Happens to be it coincides with the parasha we just read this week, Parashat Chukat. In Parashat Chukat, we are introduced to the mitzvah of Para Aduma, the red cow that is burnt, and the ashes are used to purify people who have become Tameh through a dead body. The Torah introduces this para aduma. Zot hukat haTorah. This is the law of the Torah. Instead of saying zo mitzvat haTorah, the Torah introduces the mitzvah as a chok. We know that the word chok is describing a specific type of mitzvah. We have in the Torah mitzvot that our mind is able to understand. When we see the mitzvah not to steal, our mind says, I understand that. Sometimes we can even say that the mitzvah, we could have known it without the Torah. But for sure, after we hear it, we say, we get it. When we hear about the mitzvah of kibud avayim, honoring parents, our mind says, yes, of course. We get it. We understand it. When we hear the mitzvah, do not murder, we say, obvious. I would have known that on my own. So we have many mitzvot in the Torah that either are obvious to us or for sure, after we hear it, we say, yeah, makes sense, I get it. But then we have these hukim, these laws, the chuks of the Torah. These mitzvot, although clearly have a reason, Hashem doesn't do things without wisdom. Everything, Hashem, hakol b'chokhma asita. Everything Hashem does is with wisdom. But our mind just doesn't get it. Parah Aduma is a great example of that. It has to be a completely red cow for the ashes to work. What does it matter? Even if two hairs are black on the cow, no good. Does it really make a difference? And there are other things about this mitzvah that are hard to understand. There's even a contradiction. A person who is not pure and they sprinkle on him the ashes, he becomes pure. But simultaneously, the people who are working to help the guy become pure by working with this para aduma ashes, they become not pure. How could there be something that makes the tameh tahor and makes the tahor tameh? How does that make sense? Our mind says, I don't get it. And this is not the only mitzvah. It's a chok. We have many mitzvot like that. The mitzvah of basar behalav, meat dishes, milk dishes, meat pots, milk pots. What does it do? What does milk and meat do to me? Some people like to say, no, it's not healthy. I don't think that's true. Got plenty of people eating cheeseburgers every day. They seem very strong and live a long life. What's the logic behind milk and meat? My mind says, I don't know. Can't understand. Shatnez, wool and linen together, what does that do? My mind says, I don't know. And there are many such mitzvot in the Torah. And the obvious question that every thinking person would ask is that we know that the Creator is the one who made us, and He also made and programmed our brain. That means anything that we do understand is because Hashem programmed our brain to understand. Our brain is just a creation. It's like a computer. When a person puts in the computer a command and the computer responds, it's because somebody programmed the computer ahead of time to understand what you mean when you write something and the computer responds. If a computer would get a command that he never was programmed for, he would say, error, I don't know what you're saying. Our brain, to understand anything, had to have been programmed by the Creator Himself. So if I understand honoring my parents because of Hakarat HaTov, if I get that, it's because the Creator programmed my brain to get it. If I understand not to steal and not to murder, it's because I've been given the program. So the programmer also gave us the laws. The Torah and the programmer come from the same place. It's one thing if the program came from one company and the mitzvot came from a different company, then we could understand why they don't match. But if the one who is giving us the right program to understand is the same one who gave us the mitzvot, so why would he not want us to understand the mitzvot that he gives us? Why would he leave us in the dark? Wouldn't it be so much greater to understand the effects of milk and meat and the effects of shatnez and the effect of many halachot? What would be so bad if I have an understanding of what I'm doing? Is it better to be a robot? Is it better to feel like my brain is shut down because I just don't understand what I'm doing? We know the Creator wants us to use our brain. Our religion is not just take laws and follow. Talmud Torah keneged kulam. The learning of Torah is the most important mitzvah. And the learning of Torah is not merely memorizing halachot. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, when you teach them, don't just give them the halacha. Make sure they're going to question it, delve into it, go into depth, compare one law to another, try to understand the differences. That's what we do when we learn Torah. We're constantly asking and trying to understand. One might have said, why? If that's what God wants, just do it. Who cares why you can't do this? Who needs to know the depth behind this? But that's not what Hashem wants. He wants us to understand. That is in fact the way the Torah was given to us. In a way that we should be a part of it and understand it. When a boy becomes bar mitzvah, or a girl becomes bat mitzvah, we don't just give them a sheet with laws. You just say, memorize it. And that's all you need. It's so much more than that. So why then would the Creator not open our mind? Why would He not program our mind to give us an understanding? You can be sure if Hashem programmed our mind for milk and meat, it would be so obvious. We would say, oh, of course you can't eat milk and meat. It's obvious. What does that mean? Maybe even on our own we could have gotten to it. If Hashem would have given us the programming, why didn't He do that? It's a very big question. And there's really a very powerful answer to this question. The answer to this question goes to the very essence of success as a human being on this planet. It's not like a simple answer or like a side point answer. It's an answer that hits the core purpose of life. We live in a generation where we constantly have to sell Torah and mitzvot to others, to our students, to our children, to our friends. We sell it by describing the beauty of it. Shabbat is so beautiful. It's so enjoyable to the point that a Shomer Shabbat can't understand how those who are not Shomer Shabbat, how they live their life, forget their Shabbat. It really is that way. It is so beautiful to have Torah part of your family. The dynamics of your home change. Kibud Avaim, which is part of the Torah, make the home a different atmosphere. When children respect and are in awe of their parents. Ve'ahavta le'reacha kamocha changes the dynamics of marriage and relationships. So when we come to tell somebody to connect to Torah and to Hashem, we become salesmen. And we need to become salesmen. Because the street is also selling. Before you got to your buyer, he already was approached by many vendors selling him this product or this lifestyle or this way. There's a blitz out there in the world of people running after your money and after your likes. They want you to follow them. They want you to act like them. Of course, their goal is to get your money, but they do it in a very loving way. They're constantly looking to pamper you and make you happy and give you pleasure. The billboards are screaming to you to give you something special. They sell you from vacations to food to restaurants to clothing to everything under the sun. They make role models. They make people that you should follow. They make some of the lowest humans on the planet important. They make them feel hashuv. And they start influencing your every decision of life. Today, what's going on in this area is unmatched in the history of mankind. Everyone's trying to get a piece of you by showing you how special you are and how much they're going to do for you. And then you go to school and the rabbi or teacher says, well, that's just what we do. Mommy, why do we do this? Why should we keep Shabbat? Because that's what we do. We're Jewish. Ouch. That doesn't sound as good as the billboard. The billboard said, you're awesome, I love you, I can't wait to give you all the pleasures of life. My boring rabbi says, that's just what we do. It just doesn't cut it. We need to sell. There's no choice. But we're selling the emet. We're not selling something fake. We're selling the truth. If I sell something to a student, it's because I feel it. It's not marketing that's underhanded. I'm not looking for their money. But it's selling nonetheless. Since we live in such a generation and we're constantly hearing, hopefully we're hearing, all the great things about Torah and mitzvot, what it does for you and for your mind and for your family and for your children and for your future and for, just go on and on. There is a mistake that develops as a result. And that is, we forget the real purpose of life. The purpose of life is not to enjoy mitzvot. And the purpose of life is not to enjoy life. Although, if you fulfill the purpose of life, you'll enjoy life and you'll enjoy mitzvot. Sounds a little weird. But the purpose of life isn't to enjoy life. Enjoying is not a purpose. Enjoying may be a result. The purpose of life and the highest achievement that a human can accomplish on this planet, and it may not sound so beautiful at first, that's why probably we don't talk about it as much. But the highest level of achievement in this world is to be an Eved Hashem. To be a servant of the Creator. You hear the word servant, it doesn't feel so great. But you have to remember that a servant of the Creator is a whole different kind of reality. A servant of the Creator is someone connected to the Creator. Is someone who feels... The only mashal I can give you is a person who serves their parents. It's not a service out of like Paro in Egypt, not like that. It's a service of love, it's a service of appreciation. But it's a service nonetheless, it's an eved. Actually, believe it or not, a person who's an Eved Hashem is able to reach the highest pleasures of life. Those who pursue pleasures in their mitzvot don't enjoy them as much as those who fulfill them as an Eved. Let me give you a mashal. If I'm keeping Shabbat, because I love it, it's not going to be as enjoyable as if I keep it because I'm an Eved Hashem. Sounds weird. Again, if I'm an Eved, I'm still going to enjoy all the things. But there's an added pleasure to be an Eved Hashem. To give you maybe a little mashal of what that pleasure feels like, those who have parents that they appreciate, especially if they're older, and especially if the children got older and start to understand the value of their parents. If you really appreciate your parents, it takes a lot to do that. And you realize you can't pay them back. And then you have a moment and a chance to buy them something that you think they will love. And you go and you buy it and you package it and you write a card and you give them the gift and you give them the card and you're just watching them open the gift and you see their tears of happiness and they're reading your words. You're just sitting there and you're enjoying every moment. But it's not an enjoyment of a kibbeh enjoyment. It's not a steak enjoyment. It's so much greater than that. It's an enjoyment that you were able to do something and bring nahat to someone that you love so much, that you owe everything to. You were able to do a little for them. It's such a special feeling. Maybe if you got them dinner, you'll also enjoy the dinner along with them. But it won't be the same feeling as enjoying them having enjoyment of the dinner. If someone hasn't done this in their life, they would have no idea what I'm talking about. How could you enjoy more when other people are enjoying? What does that mean? But that's a reality. So being an Eved Hashem doesn't take away from the pleasure of Shabbat. It actually makes it greater. Besides enjoying all the benefits of Shabbat, you're enjoying a new level of watching as the Creator receives your gift, as you bring Him nahat, by giving Him the Shabbat that He wants from you. So special. Hashem, this is my Shabbat for you. I'm doing it for you. That is the proper way of keeping mitzvot and living life. To be an Eved Hashem. And there is no greater level of life and no level of accomplishment that is greater than that. I know that because When Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest man that ever lived, with all of his accomplishments in Torah, in teaching, in leadership, in midot, in everything you could imagine, he was the greatest man that ever lived. When he passed away and Hashem came in the Torah to eulogize him, to talk about him, to describe him, you would think he was going to write pages and books to eulogize this great life and this great person. And shockingly, it's all put in two words. Vayamot sham Moshe. He died. Who was Moshe? Eved Hashem. Done. That's it. There's no greater achievement in life than to be a servant of the Creator. Of course, that service comes from a sense of gratitude, because you receive so much and I receive so much every day, and there's no way to repay. If I feel that way towards my mother or father, they're like a drop in the bucket of the feelings I should have for my Creator. So if I can do something as a way of service, quote unquote, it's a tremendous feeling. But bottom line, this is the purpose of life. To be an Eved Hashem. Not to pursue life's pleasures through mitzvot. Not to raise my children properly so I could enjoy them. No. You raise your children properly because that's what Hashem wants from you. Happens to be you'll enjoy them more that way. But that's not the point. It's that way in everything. So let's think together. Which kind of mitzvah helps us become an Eved Hashem? When you have mitzvot that you understand, for example, Baruch Hashem, I haven't killed anyone yet. I haven't murdered yet. Somebody asked me, how come you never murdered anyone yet? Say, what? Murder? Don't say that. I can never murder somebody. That's terrible. Taking someone's life? How can I do that? It's a horrible thing to do. It may be the right thoughts, but it's the wrong answer. Really, the right answer is because Hashem says I can't kill. But probably it's not what we would be thinking. The reason why we don't kill is because it's wrong, quote unquote. Why don't we steal? Because it's dishonest. Why do you honor your parents? Because someone asks you, I see how you honor your mother and father, it's so special. Why do you do that? You'll say, you know what they did for me? You know how much I owe them? But when it comes to a haq, what would you answer someone who says, tell me, your housekeeper comes over and says, I don't understand, why are you making me crazy? This section of pots, the meat pots, the dairy pots, the silverware, the sinks, the ovens, this, that. What is wrong with you people? The same pot, it's clean. What is going on? What do you care if a little milk goes into your meat? What is the difference? So what would you answer to that question? What would you say? Would you say, oh, you don't know how much the pot did for me? What are you going to say? There's nothing to say. There's no answer. The only answer you and I would have is, because that's what Hashem said. I don't have another answer. Hukim were placed in the Torah on purpose. Hashem specifically said, I don't want you to understand, so that you can practice being an Eved Hashem. Because if I open your brain to understand all the mitzvot, your whole life you would be just pursuing your own pleasures through the mitzvot. But you would miss the point of being a servant of God. And you would miss higher pleasures as a result too. So in order to help us flex our muscle of being an Eved Hashem, Hashem gave us many laws that we don't understand, so that we can train ourselves to become an Eved Hashem. And if you ask me if that's the case, so why did He give us mitzvot that we do understand? So just make everything a chok. The answer to that question is because Hashem wants us on our own to choose to be an Eved Hashem. So He gave us the ones that we don't understand so that He could train us. But the goal is that even those that we do understand, we need to do them because Hashem said, not because it's for me. He wants me to eat that kibbeh on Friday night because Hashem said, that's not so easy to do. To fast on Kippur because Hashem said, that's very easy. To enjoy your kibbeh Friday night, that's very hard because Hashem said. You could say it, but I don't know if you mean it. But that's the goal. The goal is that even in the ones we do understand, that we choose a higher level. But in His kindness, He trains us by giving us hukim, so that we become true servants of the Creator. This is why our nation had to start in Egypt. Our nation started to grow its tree when we left Egypt and we got the Torah. But the seed that went in the ground, called the seed of the Jewish people, started in slavery hundreds of years. That's not the story you would write about the great nation and the purpose of the creation of the world. The story of the Jewish people should not start with a seed of slavery. That doesn't seem like such a beautiful thing and such a thing that we should celebrate and be proud of. But we went to Egypt to be slaves for hundreds of years so that we can pick up training to be a true servant, and we can use it to be a servant of the Creator. When we celebrate Pesach, we don't just celebrate the freedom. We can't just celebrate the freedom because we have to remember who put us in jail to begin with. The same one who let us out, He's the one that put us in. Could you imagine someone giving someone else a punch to their face and they're bleeding and they broke all kinds of things? And then they happen to be also on Hatzalah. So they come and they quickly get all their material and they help them and rush them to the emergency room and get the best surgeon. And within a few months, they're back. Would they have a seudat hoda'ah saying, thank you so much, you saved my life? The way you took me, the way you drove me, the way you took it. It'd be very hard to have a seudat hoda'ah for that. Hatzalah, man. He's the one who punched you. Hashem didn't only take us out of Egypt. He also put us in Egypt. That's why in the Haggadah we don't just read about the Exodus. We read about all the way, Avadim, Ayinu leFaro beMitzrayim. We went down there to Egypt. BeShivayim Nefesh, Yardu Avotecha Mitzrayima. We came down to Egypt. We thank Hashem for the training of the Jewish soul. In our soul as Jewish people, we have the ability to become a true servant of the Creator. That seed was brought about in Egypt. We needed that to become the Am Hashem. The greatest accomplishment in life is to live as an Eved Hashem. Of course, an Eved mentality is a mentality that does not look at the person himself when they make a decision. They don't ask, for example, so what's in it for me? Why should I keep Shabbat? Why should I learn? Why should I raise my child like this? Why? Why should I dress this way? Why should I not eat that? There are many people who say, why not? And they need to hear a reason. And we have a reason. It's called an Eved Hashem. An Eved doesn't ask, what am I getting out? The word Eved means you're a slave. It's nothing about you. It's not about you. It's about what you need to do for your Creator. Rabbeinu Yonah says in Sha'arei Teshuvah, Ki im amor yomar ha'eved lerabo. Imagine a servant or slave would say to his master, Kol asher tomar elai, Ese. Whatever you tell me, I'm in. Whatever you say, I'm all yours. I'm your slave. You own me. Zulati davar echad. There's just one thing I don't do. So that I'm not doing for you. I don't do bathrooms. I don't clean bathrooms. But whatever you want, I'm your Eved. Except for one thing. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, an Eved minus one thing is not an Eved. Kevar shavar ol Adonav me'alav. You're not a servant. You do a lot of nice things for your master, but you're not an Eved. Partial Avdut is not Avdut. An Eved is describing the person, not the act. An Eved Hashem is the true purpose of existence and the greatest level of life, and as we mentioned, even life's pleasures. It's the essence of a Jew. It's the essence of who we are as people. Notice in the Alah Nisim that we say in Hanukkah, we talk about the Greeks and what they desired to do to our people. What was their plan? The Greeks had one goal, to wipe out Judaism. They loved the Jewish people. In fact, the Jewish people fit perfectly with the Greeks. They loved smart people. They loved philosophy. They had no issue whatsoever with the Jewish people. But they did have a problem with Judaism. And they wanted to wipe out Judaism. That was their goal. So how did the Greeks figure out? What was their plan? How would they do it? Listen to their plan. Leshakeham Toratach. Thank you. Leshakeham Toratach means they said if we're going to wipe out the Jewish people, we have to make a decree they can't learn Torah. What we need to teach Jews today, the Greeks already understood that if you want to wipe out the Jewish people, just get them to stop learning. When a Jew stops learning Torah, it's only a matter of time before he or his children or grandchildren is wiped out of Judaism. It's a reality that we live today, unfortunately. Leshakeham Toratach. ul ha'aviram, and they said, we have to remove them. Mehukeretzonach, we have to remove them from keeping mitzvot. Which mitzvot? That the Greeks see as a danger. And Judaism will exist if they were fulfilling them. Huke retzonach. Actually, the Greeks didn't care if you honored your parents. They're good with that. Because even the Greek could understand that. They didn't care if you don't murder. Anything their mind could understand, they were good with. Bechavod, do it. But they said, we must wipe out the hukim. They understood a Jew without hukim is no longer a Jew. Because the definition of a Jew is an Eved Hashem, and hukim are the mitzvot that bring out this muscle called Eved Hashem. That's why they made decrees like the decree of Milah. Milah is a huk. Like we say in the Beracha by the Brit Milah, Asher Kidesh Yedit Mi Beten. We thank Hashem that He sanctified this beautiful boy. V'chok Bish'ero Sam. He gave us a chok to give this boy a Brit Milah. Go explain to a person why we do Brit Milah. It's a chok. They made a decree on Mikveh. Mikveh is a chok. How can a body of water make someone who was Tameh Tahor? How does that work? It doesn't even have to be clean. The person walked in clean, he came out dirty, Tahor. How does that happen? Shabbat. Even Shabbat's a chok. Like it says, Sham sam lo chok u'mishpat. Hashem gave us the chok of Shabbat before Matan Torah. Says Hazal, what is chok referring to? Elu Shabbatot. While the general idea of Shabbat is something we can understand, but the details of Shabbat are very hard to understand. How it could be that walking an hour is better than getting in a car? How does that make sense? That on the day of rest, a person is working harder in certain ways. We find ourselves many times on Shabbat questioning, why are we doing this? Why can't I do that? I must have once mentioned a story that 27 years ago, someone gave me and my wife an apartment for a few days in Bal Harbor, Florida. Supposed to be this beautiful apartment. So we ended up going. We got there, it was a very, very nice building. Problem is, they left out one important piece of information. Is they didn't tell us that the apartment, this beautiful apartment, was on the 21st floor. So, it's Thursday night, and I'm thinking to myself, how exactly am I doing this on Shabbat? But of course, I feel very strong. Of course, I'll be able to do it, no problem. Friday night, I take the elevator down, so easy, so nice. Go to shul. Now it's Shabbat, I come back. Okay, trying to find the stairs. Even the question is embarrassing to ask somebody, where are the stairs? Finally, I found the stairs. No lights. No air conditioning. They haven't been used ever. Since Adam Arishon, nobody ever went, and that's their way. Okay, that is what it is. We're Jewish. You gotta go up the stairs. So I'm going up. First, I run up the stairs, and then I realize, well, maybe running is not the way to do it. Maybe going slower is better than it was taking too long to go slow. So then I stopped altogether. And finally, maybe it felt like 10 minutes. I don't know how long it was, but I was already sweating. And I thought like I'm by like the 18th floor already. And I'm looking at the first sign, 2. I guess the building started like -8. I don't know. Because by the time I got up there, I can't tell you. I don't sweat that much. I was sweating. I was red. I couldn't breathe. And now I'm getting out of the stairway on the 21st floor. And there's no like... You don't get out into like a hallway. You get out into like the laundry room. So now I'm in the... And who do I see? I see some guy from Mexico who works in the building. How do I know he's Mexican? From his... From the way he spoke. From his accent. So he sees me, noticeably exhausted. He looks at me and he says, "Sir." He says, "You know we have elevator." I felt so stupid at that moment. It's like embarrassing. Like, he's right. Like, so I had to explain myself. So quickly I explained myself. Oh, I can explain it. I thought, no, I know. Of course I have an elevator. But today is the Sabbath. It's my day of rest. As I said those, I didn't realize what I was saying. When those words came out and he's listening, I'm looking at him, he looked at me, he just ran away, he never saw me again. That was it. Like, it doesn't make sense. What kind of day of rest is that? What is the problem? If I get on the phone, instead of running 2 blocks to give a message to somebody, just call them. So much work goes into preparing for Shabbat. It's true we rest on Shabbat, but it also takes work to get there. It's a hulk. The Greeks understood. You wanted to wipe out the Jewish people? Wipe out their source of slavery to the Creator. So therefore Hashem gave us Hukim. But that's not what I came to speak to you today about. If you're listening to this class, for those people listening who are trying to be servants of Hashem, they would say, yeah, of course, this is our goal. Maybe we're not there yet, but we're trying. For those who are not yet fully on board, this class might seem a little heavy for them. So like, I have to be everything, servant of Hashem, everything. I can't even be a servant minus one thing. So one thing I don't do, so I'm not a servant. It's a lot. So a person who's not fully there yet says, okay, I don't know if this class is for me. I'm not ready for this one. Let's talk about Kibud Av Ve'Em next week. I think I'm ready for that one. This is too much. 99% service is not service. I'm not holding that. So maybe this class is not for me. And before you walk out and think that this class is not for you, I want you to think again. Because there's something about what we're learning today that is so much more, I don't want to say it the wrong way, but it's more than just religion. It's more than that. And that's a lot, but it's more than that. What could be more than that? Today's class literally changes a person's life. And our subject is Eshet Chayil. Today's class, believe it or not, changes a marriage. I should give you time to think and come back next week to see if you can find the connection. But we don't have that luxury. You would never imagine how many relevant things in our everyday life come out of today's class. This is not just about being religious. This is not just about following every mitzvah the right way, like an Eved Hashem. This has many branches. That was just a tree. But there are so many branches that are going to come out of this. It's going to make a very big difference in your home, with your children, with their future. And if you ask me how so, how does an Eved Hashem, so I'm committed to be an Eved Hashem, means I'm committed to be a servant of God. Okay, I get it. How does that affect everything in my life? Let me tell you about what's going on in the world today. I don't think it's unique to today, but it's definitely way greater than it ever was. This I can say with almost certainty. You have to know, and I think the people listening know pretty well, there's a tremendous amount of pain today in people's lives. Teenagers are a disaster. They may smile, they may look very nice, but for the most part, the teenagers of the street are troubled. They have a lot of concerns, they have a lot of fears, they have anxiety, they have all types of feelings, all types of feelings that make their life very difficult. Of course, they try to live as normal as possible, but I'm talking inside. If you see a teenager today, you can assume they're not well. Not in an ugly way. There are a lot of challenges. Social issues. Financial issues. Family issues. Physical issues, health issues, and so much more. Little details. Your average teenager struggling with who's my friends, who am I, who, my parents. I wish I had different parents. I wish I had a different home. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. It's all between jealousy and between all kinds of things that are constantly going on inside of their mind. And it doesn't stop. Get older, it's not stopping. Marriages are not so easy either. And there are many challenges in a marriage. There are many challenges with having a child, many challenges in getting married. There are many challenges after they're married, after they have a child. There are many, many challenges in life. Perhaps in older societies, they just assumed that life had challenges. And they just did. But in today's world of everybody needs to be pampered and everyone's got to have everything perfect and everybody's trying to sell you, the challenges of life become very, very difficult to bear. And very often the challenges are things we can't understand. Like, Hashem, what's the problem? Like, why can't you just make me better? You could do it. Just give me more money. What's the issue? You don't like me? What? I thought you loved me. I don't understand. My whole life I've been doing such good things. Why do I deserve this? How many times have you heard someone say, why do I deserve this? What did I do to deserve this? Hashem, come on, like, why can't you just find me my zivug? I want to get married. I want to do the right things. Like, what is the issue? Just go, press the button, go. Just give me a child. What is stopping you? I don't get it. What do I want? Every terrorist in the world is having 10 children. I can't have a child. I can't get it. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I'm praying. I'm giving charity. I don't understand. Can someone try to explain it to me? I don't get it. These difficulties and questions and feelings. I gave a few examples, but they are endless examples, and they don't stop. When you get older, you have more questions, because now not only you have questions on your own life, you have to question every one of your children's life also. So your worries expand as your family expands. You think you have more in your family, you're going to relax, but you have bigger issues. Now you worry about your teenager because he's worried. So now it's worse. Doesn't make a great life, a person who has such feelings. Is there a way to fix? Is there a way to train ourselves that despite life's challenges that put holds on people's lives and their happiness, no matter what's going on in your life that you're lacking, that you can't understand, is there a way that a person could live life with tremendous koah and happiness despite the things that are going on in their life that they don't understand? And the answer is yes. If you're a servant of the Creator, it doesn't stop by mitzvot. It doesn't stop by sha'atnez. It doesn't stop by milk and meat. A servant of the Creator is not only in the written word, but a servant of the Creator is also in the life of a person. When something comes your way that you weren't expecting, that you don't want, that you don't like, that you don't understand. That's a hook. What do you do when there's a hook? What happens to you when you have a hook? For most people, they suffer, they complain. Their life becomes bitter, painful, and doesn't realize what they could have realized if they would have continued on with strength. There's no greater example in the Torah, I don't think, for this subject than Yosef HaTzadik. A man who had the most large of dreams, no larger dreams than his, to be a melech, to help out humanity, to feed people, to help them, to lead them. This was his dream, being the son of Yaakov Avinu. The dedicated, devoted, the most dedicated, devoted son of Yaakov Avinu. Ben Zekunim Hula. And those dreams ended up completely the other way. 17 years old, and he finds himself a slave to an Egyptian. What happens to such a person? What happens when you had dreams of royalty and you become a slave? You know how many questions Yosef had at that moment? I don't understand. My whole life, all I did was learn Torah, keep mitzvot. All I did was help people. I just wanted to do more in my life. How in the world does this make sense? God, what are you doing to me? I don't understand. You know how many questions he must have had at that moment in his life? So how did he, as the Pasuk says, Vayhi ish matzliach. He was a successful man in the Egyptian's home. How in the world could he be matzliach with such questions? Those questions make a person bitter. Those questions make a person feel despair. Those questions break people. When you see a teenager that wakes up at 1 p.m, it's because they're broken. It's not because they're tired. It's because they're emotionally tired. They're exhausted. They have so many questions, so many unanswered issues, so many worries, so many broken dreams. Of course they can't wake up. They have a hard time putting their energy in things. I say teenagers, but of course, like I said, it runs through and through. How is Yosef Ish Matzliach? How could he do that? There's the most beautiful midrash on a pasuk in Mishle. Listen to this pasuk. It says Shlomo HaMelech, in his wisdom, look what he says. He says, Hazita, did you see Ish? Have you seen a man? Mahir bimlachto. That when he's doing his work, he's energized. Mahir. He's giving it his all. He's up early, working, doing, putting in all of his energy in whatever he's doing. Have you seen such a person? Hazita ish mahir bimlachto. Says Shlomo HaMelech, lifne melachim yityatzav. Says Shlomo HaMelech, with absolute confidence, this person is going to one day stand in front of kings. This person is going to be tremendously successful. Guaranteed. If you're a person that's energized in what you need to do in life, whatever that might be, energized as a mother, energized as a wife, energized as a father, energized as a husband, energized as a friend, energized in all areas that you need to be involved in. If you're giving it your all, guaranteed, you're going to become tremendously successful. Written guarantee. Says the Midrash, I need a little help to understand what Shlomo HaMelech is talking about. The Midrash is looking for some personality to try to match the words. And says the Midrash, I found him. Says the Midrash, you know who this is? Zeh Yosef. Why is Yosef this person? So the Midrash quotes the day when it says that he came habaita, he came home, la'asot melachto. He came to do work, his work. Says the Midrash, that day, the Egyptians had a national holiday. All the people were out celebrating in the theaters. It was a carnival. And Yosef was a slave at home. And what was he doing that day? Nobody's around. What was he doing? Says the Midrash, he was working. Fully in. They gave him jobs to do every day. That day was no different. Nobody is around, nobody's watching. He was totally doing his work. And that's why you find the success of Yosef. And if you ask, why is he doing his work? What's so important about the Egyptian work? If you can get away with it, why not get away with it? The answer is that Yosef lived with one important fact in his mind always. That where Hashem puts you in life, that's the melacha he wants from you. Melachto is his work. But the H in the word his is capital. It doesn't mean Yosef's work. He didn't come to do his work with a lowercase h. He came to do his work. He came to do God's work. How did he know God's work was to work? Because that's where he put him. Where Hashem puts you in life, that's the work he wants for you. And if you don't understand it, and you don't know how to live with a chok, you're going to be in big trouble. If you're the type of person, until you understand, that's when you do, you are going to be very, very upset about your melachto. That's not the melacha you wanted. But Yosef understood something in life, that just like there are mitzvot that we don't understand, there are life situations that we don't understand. But an Eved, Hashem says, that's where Hashem wants me. I know He wants me here, because I wouldn't be here if not for Him. So therefore, He wants me to work here. Like the Pasuk says, Vayhi Adonai et Yosef. Hashem was with Yosef. Vayhi ish matzliach. He was matzliach because he knew that's exactly his job now in life. Let me tell you something about this Pasuk. About the story. The story of Yosef is not to give us a story about a past personality. The story of Yosef is a story of every person that comes into this world with different names and different ways. The story of Yosef is the story of every single one of us. There's tremendous success waiting for every person. But that road to success is going to require going through a life that sometimes you're going to have a hook. Baruch Hashem, many times we understand how much Hashem does for us. We say, ah, mina shamayim, look how this happened. Mina shamayim, this worked out. But remember, even when it didn't work out, it's also mina shamayim. It's all mina shamayim. And you have to know the road to success that Yosef became, the great Yosef. He had to go through a life of a hook. And it didn't happen in one day. It was in 2 days. People say, oh, I prayed yesterday. Enough. Again, today, tomorrow. The man had to wait years. But says Shlomo HaMelech, I'm writing you a guarantee that the way to success in life is you have to keep yourself energized when there's hukim, when there are things that you don't understand. You got to know that this is your work. It's Hashem's work for you. When you realize that this is what Hashem wants from you, you give it your all even though you don't understand it. Your children could be energized when they're teenagers. Your children could be energized as they get older, even through the challenges of life, even though it's painful, even though it's bitter sometimes. But what's the reaction to that? What happens to a person who's challenged? You can't take away the bitterness of your children's future. You can't take away the pain that they may have to go through. But you can give them the muscle. You can give them the tool that no matter what they go through, they're going to be energized. Knowing as well that the guarantee is that if they go through it energized, it's just a matter of time. Well, there'll be a proud melech somewhere. Is there a greater gift you can give your family? Most people, especially in today's world, when things go wrong, they fold. They don't know what to do with themselves. At best, they distract themselves. And sometimes in not such good ways. Imagine to yourself, is there a greater gift you can give a human than giving him the muscle that no matter what's going to be in his life, he's going to be all in? What a powerful gift that you can give yourself and your family. You thought when we spoke about the beginning of the class, the hukim, you thought it was just about being religious? It's so much bigger than that. Not that that's a small thing, but it's so much more. The branches of a child who grew up with a haq as a way of being a servant of the Creator. Such an atmosphere in a home. Such a lifestyle leads to the branches of life. Without it, you can't just turn on the button when you like. Yeah, when they have a hard time, now give them hizuk. Now give them the strength. Now show them. No. It's not like that. You got to go to the gym. You got to work it out. When they're little, when they're 9 and 8 and 7 and 10 and 12, what are they doing in that home? What's going on with his parents? A home that has an atmosphere called the Eved Hashem atmosphere goes way beyond the mitzvot. It's way beyond Sha'atnez and Basar Bechalav and walking up the steps on Shabbat. That's the least of it. What an unbelievable thing to have and to give over. I don't know if there's a greater thing you can give your children. I can't imagine there is. Of course, we see the flip side of such a person, perhaps most visible, opposite of such a reality in a person. Is what Shlomo HaMelech calls in his Sefer Mishlei. He has a name for him. He calls him the Nirgan. Who is the Nirgan? What is a Nirgan? Nirgan is describing a complainer. Whether they're complaining with their words or they're complaining with their thoughts. Shlomo HaMelech has a name called Nirgan. Says the great Shlomo HaMelech, Divrei Nirgan, the words of the complainer, Kemitlahamim. The word mitlahamim means a person who's getting hit. The words of the complainer is constantly describing himself getting hit. He's the victim. Who are the people who are hurting him? Anybody. It's not the people that came first and he became a complainer. No. He's a complainer. And therefore, he always feels like he's a victim getting beaten up by somebody. God beats him up sometimes. His parents sometimes ignore him. His friends for sure beat up on him. Mitlahamim. He feels like he's always getting beat up. That's what a complainer is. V'hem yardu hadre baten, says Shlomo HaMelech, you should know that it's just these, it's his feelings. It's his translation of things. It's his imagination that's from within his stomach. He's making all types of assessments. The complainer is the opposite of the Eved Hashem. The complainer is the one who's always looking at things and finds fault because he can't understand. And therefore he complains. And who's the biggest victim of a complainer? Himself. Forget the people he's talking about. He's hurting himself most. Because when you become a complainer, this is what happens to you. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, look at these words. Today's class was for these words. Upe'amim rabot, says Rabbeinu Yonah. And many times, hanirgan, the complainer, kafui tova, doesn't know how to receive and appreciate. A person who's a complainer feeds into a reality called kafui tova. Kafui tova is the opposite of appreciation. It's a person who doesn't feel how much is being done for him. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, a nirgan is a kafui tova. That's what happens to him. Why is he a nirgan? How did he become a nirgan? Today we came to explain that. He became a nirgan because there are things in life he doesn't understand. People don't complain about things they understand. They complain about things they don't understand. Instead of being an Eved Hashem, they become a nirgan. And they could complain about anything. Any problem can awaken complaints. Look at the Jewish people in the desert. In this week's parasha, it says, Am Yisrael, during a moment of frustration, during a hawk moment in their life, they went to speak. Vaydaber, they went strong to speak at Hashem and at Moshe. And they said, Lama he'elitunu mi Mitzrayim. Why did you take us out of the desert? Excuse me, out of Egypt. Lamut b'midbar, to die here in the desert. They forgot what Egypt was. They forgot the work. They forgot that their children were being murdered. How quickly you could forget when things are not going your way. Instead of taking the difficult moment they were in and living with a hook, they went the way of the nirgan. They went to complain. They even called the man, Venafshenu katza, our soul is already disgusted. Balechem akelokel, this bread, this light bread. The man was an awesome food that Hashem gave them. But they found a way to complain about that too. When a person goes through a hulk in life, it's fertile ground for complaining. You love to complain. It expresses our frustration, our lack of understanding. And it brings a person to lose all sense of gratitude, even to those who saved their life from Egypt and saved their children from death and gave them gourmet meals for 40 years. Even that could be forgotten. Now you understand perhaps why sometimes a child, 20 years old, not a child anymore, doesn't show real appreciation for his parents. How? Well, he forgot. He doesn't know. He's ignorant. Which part does he not? Is he missing? Hasn't paid rent in 20 years. Hasn't paid for dinner in 20 years. Clothing on the house. Vacations, education. Which part is he missing? Is he blind? But the answer is that when hukim come up in life, when difficult moments come up in life and a person doesn't understand them, they become frustrated. And they start to complain. Again, internally, externally. And when you start to complain, it's like putting a veil on appreciation. You no longer can see things. Doesn't matter what was done for you, by who, on what level, it makes no difference. Complaining has no room in the life of a great person. Time and time again, we see in the Torah people, individuals, or a nation complaining, and Hashem says, no good. Even the great Moshe Rabbeinu was called out when the Jewish people had to work harder after he came to Paro to try to bring them out. He went back to Hashem and he told him, Lama hare ota la'am hazeh, Hashem, why did you do bad to this nation? Why did you send me? Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't even complaining about himself. He was hurt for them. Hashem told him, I can't believe it. Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, they didn't talk like this. Many times in life they didn't understand things, but they didn't question me. They were an Eved Hashem. You? I send you one time to Paro. You come back and you're complaining. What was the complaining? What did he say? He was hurting for them. So some explain, because he said the word Lama hare ota. Don't say bad. Don't say it's bad. You want to say it's bitter? You could say it's bitter. You want to say it's painful? You could say it's painful. Don't say bad. Bad is your explanation. Bad is because you don't understand. Bitter is bitter. It's reality. Pain is reality. But don't tell me bad. You just said bad because you don't know. It's a hulk. How did I send you to Paro and things got worse? You don't understand that? It's a hulk. Am Yisrael didn't have water in the desert. In the hot desert. In the springtime. For 3 days, no hot water. In the heat, we can't go an hour without drinking. 3 million people with millions and millions of animals, babies. No water for 3 days, and no water they even expect to come. They have no idea. They didn't say one word. Could you imagine that? Not one word. Imagine the level where our people were on. 3 days, they didn't say a word. The kids are screaming, crying, thirsty. The old man, the old lady, not a word. 3 days, not an hour, not a half a day. 3 full days. They didn't cry. They didn't complain. And then it says they came to a place called Marah. And they found water. Just imagine the feeling. They got somewhere and there's water. Ah, Baruch Hashem. Okay. 3 days was hard. We had no questions. But, okay, here's the water. They go drink from the water and they realize it's bitter. Can't drink it. It's undrinkable water. Could you imagine what just happened to them? And the pasuk says, listen to this. Vayilonu ha'am al Moshe lemor. And the people complained to Moshe and they said, Ma nishteh? What should we drink? And they were held accountable for that. What? You complained? You said Ma nishteh? Is there anything wrong with saying Ma nishteh when you went 3 days without water? Should they not have asked, Ma nishteh, what should we drink? But the truth is, the words weren't the problem. It was the tone. Vayilonu. They said it in complaint. What are we going to drink? We're thirsty. And the tone. Complaining. That was held against them. Even there. Even in such a difficult situation, the expectation is, don't complain. Probably will say, yeah, usually I don't complain. Most people say that. Usually I don't complain, but this time, I can't. There's always a this time. No complaining. In fact, after they complained, look what Hashem did. He gave them water. And the pasuk says, Sham, over there, Sam lo, Hashem gave them chok u'mishpat. Hashem gave them chok. You guys not training yourself good enough. You need hokim to live by every single day so that you don't come to such a reaction. Batahba lev bala. The eshet hayil has a secure husband. Where does he get his security from? Because he has a wife that appreciates him. And vice versa, of course. Same. And how do you get a wife that appreciates you? What about all the different things that maybe she's not getting? How about the things that we're missing? This Batahba Lev Ba'ala didn't say the Baal is perfect. Didn't say he was Moshe Rabbeinu. He's a regular husband. With all that regular husbands have. All the disappointments they come with. So how does he feel so secure? Because his wife is so grateful. But how is he so grateful? How does she show him such satisfaction when he's clearly lacking? He forgot this. He doesn't do that. How could you give them this feeling of appreciation when they're not coming through? And sometimes you just don't get it. What did I ask you for? I just said to go remember to pick something up. I just said to call me. Not asking like huge thing. What is the big deal? You know how many times in a relationship you have a hook, you can't understand why they wouldn't do something or why they do something? Why would you say that? I don't understand. You don't think this Eshet Hayil has questions on her husband? But yet, she has this capability of feeling appreciation. And thereby giving him the strength, the shalal lo yahsar, he becomes so successful and makes his entire family successful with him. Because he had a wife, an eshet hayil, that knew how to appreciate and knew that complaining in life is never acceptable. We have to solve issues, yes. Take care of problems, yes. Talk to someone if they're doing wrong, yes. But complaining does nothing. All complaining does is make you feel like a victim. That something is happening and you just don't get it. And that goes into the very heart of your appreciation and ruins the fabric of a relationship. And doesn't allow the shalal, the spoils, the victories in this home to come about. Be careful of the enemy. It is not so easy to appreciate. It is not so easy to be a good recipient. The enemy is going to be the hukim of the relationship. Remember, when there's a hawk, that's your melacha. Figure it out. Find out what you have to do. Work through it. Put in the energy, and you will see lifnei melachim yitzav. You'll see tremendous success ahead. The power of a hawk. Zot hukat haTorah. It's much more than para aduma. It's the whole Torah. It's your whole life. Live your life with that attitude and you'll see tremendous beracha with all of its branches. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen ve'amen.